stop me if you've heard this before, but a director from the Avengers and DC is being accused of abuse by a number of women that he's worked with in the past. And we take a look at the issue of hell, Hades, and what the Bible says regarding these two different places. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we look at some of the allegations that are being made against director Joss Whedon and really some of the material he's been putting out, regardless of the abuse allegations that he is facing right now. And also, in a more recent episode where we discussed Bob Saget, Betty White, and a number of just the issues concerning the afterlife, the question regarding Hades and hell came up, and it would be great to take a look at what the Bible actually says regarding Hades and hell, because I believe that a lot of people are very confused on the subject. But before we do talk about that and dig into the word regarding that, I wanted to take a look at the recent allegations that were made against Joss Whedon. For you guys who don't know, Joss Whedon was, that's Joss with J-O-S-S, not Josh, Joss Whedon is a director, a very, very famous director. In fact, he's been able to dip his toes on both the Avengers and the Marvel scene, as well as the DC scene regarding not only the Avengers, but also the Justice League. In fact, he was brought in when Zack Snyder couldn't finish the cut, the original cut that they were trying to make of Justice League, because Joss had so much success with the original Avengers that they thought, well, let's bring him over to fix some of the low numbers of people watching these DC films. And a lot of people really didn't like his cut. That's why Zack Snyder's cut came out and did so well. Zack Snyder's cut being much more dark, and they were trying to lighten the load there with Mr. Whedon. Now, a lot of people accused him of certain things, specifically pushing down a black actor and not putting the lines that he had for him where Zack Snyder actually made Cyborg, that character, the forefront of the movie. And a lot of people like Snyder's cut. But nonetheless, as you well know, we are not big fans of Marvel or DC here. We do want to have the information accurate when we share it to you, but we are not big fans of them because we've been working so hard on the project that is coming out very soon, specifically Pastor Joe and Josh and Tony have been working very, very hard regarding our upcoming film series, which is supposed to be 7 or 8 films regarding some of the darkness that is happening from Marvel and DC. So Joss Whedon is somebody who's not only been on our radar regarding that upcoming documentary, but in some of the films and TV shows that he's been a part of and pushing for a long time. But what I found most interesting was while watching him speak at the Harvard Humanist Society, he discussed a number of different things in a very short clip that can be found online. But Joss Whedon is a self-professed atheist. And in that speech, he talks about how great and the cogent arguments made by guys like Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens. And I'm going to put this out there right now for you guys. Now, this is coming from somebody who was a former atheist. I did not believe in God, and I remember the Dawkins and the Hitchens arguments and so forth. But in all honesty, since 2009, when I got saved, and when a lot of the Hitchens, Dawkins, Harris, Dennett, and so forth, those big popular humanist atheists that were coming forth with these arguments, some of which, Christopher Hitchens specifically, have passed away, a lot of that stuff has typically been, it's embarrassing for atheists even to talk about these things and not look at their arguments as some that are just, I guess you would say, sophomoric when it came to some of the philosophical arguments that they put forth against the God of the Bible. And this is coming even from atheists believing that. But nonetheless, that's what Joss was pushing and talking about, how great their arguments were and those books, and that he's already known all this stuff. But what really popped out to me, especially with the recent allegations, was the fact that he talked specifically concerning talking to the Harvard Humanist Society. He talked specifically about getting a foothold on America and world society and wanting to codify his moral structure without a sky bully, that's what he calls God, looking down on him to tell him what to do. Now, I find this very interesting that somebody like Joss Whedon, of course, would have a moral compass that I guess only goes as far as his own wicked heart would decide, because that's exactly what has taken place. Interestingly enough, it's always these guys like Joss Whedon that, you know, will parrot and tell you how much of a feminist they are only when the, you know, I guess when the curtains are pulled back and you get to see what they actually believe in practice, it proves to be just exactly what we'd expect from somebody who calls God a sky bully. It's somebody who has a moral compass that only goes as far as his own appetite and desires. In fact, his own ex-wife has come out against him. In a Washington Post article, we read, Whedon's ex-wife, Kai Cole, was among the earliest to speak out, referring to him in a 2017 column for The Wrap as a, quote, hypocrite preaching feminist ideals. The couple had divorced the previous year after separating in 2012. Cole wrote that Whedon had multiple affairs and, quote, used his relationship with me as a shield so no one would question his relationships with other women or scrutinize his writing as anything other than feminist. Many actors who appear prominently in Whedon's work have also spoken out against him. In June 2020, Fisher, who played Cyborg, tweeted that Whedon's, quote, on-set treatment of the cast and crew of Justice League was gross, abusive, unprofessional, and completely unacceptable, and that producers Jeff Johns and John Berg had enabled the behavior. Fisher wrote that he, quote, was not the first to speak out about Whedon, but I hope to be one of the last that has to. In fact, Gal Gadot, who was Wonder Woman, in the Hollywood Reporter story also stated that Whedon pushed Gadot, quote, Justice League's Wonder Woman, to record lines she didn't like, and that he threatened her career when she pushed back, according to an Elle magazine profile on the actress. Gadot concurred on Israeli television that he said he would, quote, make her career miserable. Another actress, Charisma Carpenter, using the hashtag #IStandWithRayFisher, stated this, that he was casually cruel, and that that Whedon asked when she came to production pregnant if she was, quote, going to keep it, as in, are you going to kill that baby? Quote from Carpenter, these memories and more have weighed on my soul like bricks for nearly half of my life. I wish I said something sooner. I wish I had the composure and the courage all those years ago, but I muted myself in shame and conditioned silence. Now, Whedon has since tried to give somewhat of a, I would say, a muffled answer regarding some of the things that are going on. And I'll read some of his admissions as well, where he said to, in a New York magazine, that he was, quote, not mannerly. And when he spoke to Carpenter after learning she was pregnant, that he was, quote, not civilized while running Buffy and Angel. He actually goes on to say that basically that a lot of those productions afterwards were pretty much like cocktail parties, which I guess was akin to say, I guess we were all drunk when all this stuff was going on. In fact, when Whedon, who had already been accused of being racist to some degree regarding pushing down the role of Cyborg and using just patented lines from Teen Titan, He then said of Godot that English is not her first language, and I tend to be annoyingly flowering in my speech. To which Godot said, I understood perfectly. I will never work with him and would never suggest any of my peers to work with him in the future. Now, this is a guy who has his own moral compass, and that moral compass seems to be hypocrisy, which is, you guys can do all the things that I am preaching, but I am going to do these things. And this should honestly come as no surprise from someone who has been pushing occultic nonsense out in the realm for children and for teens. In fact, I want to read from you because this is somebody who popularized the whole vampire series with teeny boppers. This is where, of course, being the director of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for a number of years, pushing not only ideas of Buffy, you know, vampire slaying in this occultic, crazy vampire demon goblin show, but also having homosexual relationships, young girls in homosexual relationships on that show, popularizing this to young teens. So, of course, this is his moral compass. This is who he is, pushing this propaganda. But I want to read from you because one of the things he did was take the vampires and turn at least one of them into a hero. And that sprung off into the show Angel. And I'm just going to read the profile of Angel so you can get an understanding of what that show was about. Angel is an American television series, a spinoff from the television series Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The series was created by Buffy's creator, Joss Whedon, in collaboration with David Greenwalt. It aired on the WB from October 5th, 1999 to May 19, 2004, consisting of 5 seasons and 110 episodes. Like Buffy, it was produced by Whedon's production company, Mutant Enemy. The show details the ongoing trials of Angel, a vampire whose human soul was restored to him by a Romani curse as a punishment for the murder of one of their own. After more than a century of murder and torture of the innocents, Angel's restored soul torments him with guilt and remorse. Angel moves to Los Angeles, California, after it is clear that his doomed relationship with Buffy, the vampire slayer, cannot continue. During the majority of the show, he works as a private detective in Los Angeles, where he and a variety of associates work to help the helpless, restoring the faith and saving the souls of those who have lost their way, while he must also battle his own demonic nature. He typically battles with evil demons or humans allied to them, primarily related to Wolfram and Hart, a law firm supported by occult practices, which is an extension of otherworldly demonic forces. And this was a show for 110 episodes that popularized occult activity and vampirism to teeny boppers. Guys, this is exactly how, by the way, you move forward from that going on in the 90s to the popularization later in the 2000s of the Twilight Saga and Edward and so forth, Edward Cullen and their creepiness. By the way, I always wondered this when it came to Twilight, because we look back at that whole series and you had these werewolves and you had these coven of vampires, this secret whatever, and you had the young girl in that, Bella Swan, 17 years old, in a relationship with a vampire, by the way, a vampire, that is 104 years old. Does anyone not pay attention to this stuff? Nobody cares? I mean, this is just weird, creepy stuff. And this was peddled to children. And young ladies, they're just absolutely going goo-goo and gaga for these guys. It's just absolutely incredible. So it should come as no surprise that the Joss Whedons of this world, of course, are just the hypocrites, as his ex-wife would say he is, just like all the different actresses and actors that have come out against him, because truly his own moral compass is that of his own fleshly desires. And he's of the prince of the power of the air. So I do pray that Joss Whedon and the like, and so many of these young people and so many of the people that nowadays have allowed these things to infiltrate their hearts, that they would allow them to be pushed away, repent, and turn to Jesus and allow Jesus to make their heart his home. That would just be absolutely wonderful. Nonetheless, I wanted to get to this topic of hell and Hades, because a lot of people in the comments were not understanding what I was saying, And I probably should not have, in the last episode, simply thrown out a word without giving any explanation to what I meant when I said that in all likelihood, even though we are not the judge of Bob Saget or Betty White, and ultimately we have no idea what their last thoughts were, if they cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ, there are such thing as deathbed confessions and so forth, deathbed salvations. And we see that, I guess it's not a deathbed, but a death cross right there, the thief on the cross. So that's a reality. But one of the things I mentioned is that they are currently, if they did not repent, and I'm not positive on either one, granted the fruit does not look good whatsoever, but nonetheless, for anyone, for you know, with them aside, for anyone who does not repent, if they do not go right now, their soul into the presence of the Lord, then they go to Hades. Now, Hades, obviously, according to Luke chapter 16, I don't want to say obviously, but according to Luke chapter 16, in Luke chapter 16, we see the, I don't believe it's a parable. I actually believe Jesus is telling a story there. In fact, some of the early church actually name who the rich man is because Jesus doesn't even put the rich man's name in this story, but he does put Lazarus. Why? Lazarus was somebody who sat at the table waiting for the crumbs that would fall off and the dogs would lick him and so forth, his sores and whatnot. And Lazarus himself is now in the bosom of Abraham, when Jesus tells this story, in the bosom of Abraham in bliss. He calls this, to the very rich man who would be with him, as mentioned earlier, he calls this paradise. So this is a beautiful, beautiful place that they are in, obviously of solace, obviously of peace. That's why he calls it paradise. But the rich man is somewhere else. And in fact, when you go to Luke chapter 16, it actually tells us exactly what that place is. In Luke chapter 16, verse 23, it says, "In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus in his bosom." Now, this is why we call paradise, as Jesus referred to it, as Abraham's bosom, because that's what it says. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. So we refer to it as that. But this is a different compartment in the place known as Hades. In the Old Testament, you might see it translated as Sheol in a number of places, which basically could have meant a place where it's paradise, or for those in judgment, a horrible place. Now, what we see here, and it should be likened to when it comes to the place of Hades, is similar to in our own judicial system. We have what is a jail, a holding facility, versus the state penitentiary. And that's exactly what I would parallel Hades and hell, or the lake of fire. You see, the synonym in the New Testament for hell is the lake of fire. And we only have a few references of the lake of fire, but when we see the identifiable property of hell in the New Testament, when Jesus spoke about it, when Jesus warned, it always has to do with judgment. And this is interesting because a lot of this debate and understanding comes from the argument of King James onlyism, because there are a lot of people who believe that the King James Bible is the only standard Bible that anyone should ever read. In fact, people will call Good Fight Ministries false teachers because we read from the NASB, or we'll try to look at the best translation of the text. And there's times where the King James has the best translation, or I believe says it the absolute best. But nonetheless, that I guess that understanding and that belief that somebody holds to, while I believe comes with the wanting of certainty, I believe it trades that certainty for the truth of how God has actually given us his word and how we are supposed to dig and look at this word and do exactly as it says in Proverbs 25, verse 2, that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the honor of kings to search it out, that we should rightly divide the word of truth. We should look at the context of verses and understand what it's saying. And so I believe that all is encompassed when it comes to looking at this very issue that is at hand. But one of the conversations that I watched was with a King James onlyist and a non-King James onlyist. And one of the things that even the man, and it was Stephen Anderson, by the way, who kept bringing up, I can see that there's differences, even though the word is translated hell in both cases. The fact that when it comes to hell or the lake of fire, it always has to do with that end judgment, where Hades, which is used at least 10 times in the New Testament, is used specifically as a holding place or just a place for the dead, specifically in the New Testament. Like, for example, I wanted to read a few different places where the terms Hades and hell are used because it is really good to understand the differential. And I know I'm already running out of time on here, so I'm going to try to get as many as possible. But I think the most important thing to understand, we know that Hades and hell are different because when we look at Revelation chapter 20, we see the ultimate fate of Hades and what will happen with that compartment. It says, "And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead, which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to the deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." You see, the reason why Hades is thrown into the lake of fire, because guess what? Everyone that was in that place that according to Luke chapter 16 is a miserable place to be. It is hot. The rich man begs Lazarus to just touch water and take it to his tongue because of how terrible the flames were, even in Hades. But that will also be thrown into the lake of fire with death, because the reality is that when it comes to hell, the ultimate judgment, there is eternal conscious torment. In fact, we actually read that the devil and his angels go there right earlier in this chapter, right after the thousand-year reign, and it actually says to us, he's given a short time, and then they're thrown down. It actually says to us in 1 Timothy 3, regarding new converts, that new converts should not be given the role of pastor or elder because they will be puffed up and fall under the same condemnation as Satan. That's a serious thing, because the condemnation of Satan is eternal conscious torment. And so we want to make sure that we have things assessed biblically. So we see the differential there. And if you look at different places that the word Hades is used, it's used in Matthew 11:23. It's used in Matthew 16:18. It's used in Luke 16:23, as I mentioned. Obviously, it's used in Revelation 20 alongside the lake of fire, but you see the two different places. And when we see over and over again, like in Matthew 5:22, when Jesus warns about calling someone a fool, it says, "You shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." Guilty, once again, it has to do with judgment. In fact, Matthew 23:33, it says, "You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell?" Hell, lake of fire, always has to do with judgment, where Hades is that holding place that eventually will be emptied. The top compartment, as I would say, or I guess you could say east and west, the compartment of Abraham's bosom is actually empty right now, because Jesus Christ, when he died, he set those captives free, because when he died for their sins, they were not just merely covered, but paid for. And now those souls could go into the presence of God, awaiting the day when their bodies will eventually come and receive the resurrection, and then you will have the judgment. But I wanted to read, before I finish today, I wanted to read some fan mail to you guys, and hopefully encourage you guys to do something else other than what this man, Robert Bridges, I will read. It was a public comment. If it was just a private message, I would leave it private, but this is a public comment. But this is what he had to say on a recent episode. This is to me, apparently. "Lucifer is your God. Absolutely. Hell is your destiny. You're not ever going to live in heaven. Departed from the heavens because you're sick. I'm praying for you." By the way, I can't tell if this is a poem, and you can see here on the image. Maybe it is. I'm not sure, but you tell me. I can't tell if it's a poem or not. "You're sick. I'm praying for you." Doesn't sound like it, and you'll see why I say it doesn't sound like it. "Self-righteous is your fake Jesus." Self-righteous is the fake Jesus? That makes no sense. "Dark spirit, are you on script ed speed? Rapid, insane dogma? I'm so glad donkeys like you will be the filthy rags burning in the abyss of the lake of fire." Doesn't sound like this guy's praying for me, but we'll keep going. "Reserved for false agents of demonic leadership masquerading as a voice of truth, when all you'd be done on this cast will deal your soul. Please be still. All your judgment." So apparently he's really mad about how judgmental I am. is confirmed. Your only reason to exist is to play God. How about being humble? A contrite heart. Your childish use of kill. Chad, Satan's son. I think he's trying to make a play there on my last name, Davidson. But nonetheless, I want to say this. Robert, I do hope you repent. This is, obviously, it seems like you'd be really excited to see me in hell. And so would the devil. And I'm so blessed because the Lord was so gracious to me to not allow this to take place. And I can have full confidence in the person of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he did for me. And it's such a blessing. But I also show this to highlight, guys, we definitely have a lot of people that give us some bad reviews because maybe they don't like that we expose some artists, or maybe they don't like how we explain something. So I do want to encourage you guys, make sure if you can, give us a 5-star review. If you feel like we give you 5 stars here at Good Fight Ministries at 511 News, and make sure you share this, make sure you're liking and subscribing to the page, because we obviously have our people that would love to see us in hell. Not my opinion. I'm reading you just one comment. And trust me, as somebody who has run the emails and and the pages here for the last almost decade, by the way, getting close there, this is indicative of quite a few people that for some reason, they think that judging people to hell makes them non-judgmental. And it really doesn't. And we do love the work that we get to do here. And we ask that you guys just have a blessed time. And hopefully you guys will come back to the page tonight, because you're going to hear Joe and myself teach from the different churches from the book of Revelation over the next 2 days. So God bless you guys.
The 511 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.